General Keith Alexander, the commander of Cyber Command and the director of National Security Agency, says with the growth of CyberCom in its first 4 years of existence, including the development of its cyber mission teams, it's now reached a level of maturity that he calls a tipping point. He says it's likely that within the next year, DoD will remove CyberCom from its parent component, U.S. Strategic Command, and make it into a unified command all its own.
Why a unified command? Command and control. From the president and the secretary directly to that commander. In cyberspace, that speed is going to be absolutely important. And I think as we add more teams and more complexity, StratCom's ability to actually play in this will continue to go down.
Turning CyberCom into the nation's 10th combatant command has always been one option for the longer-term vision for the organization. But when it was first created as a sub-unified command of StratCom 4 years ago, defense leaders wanted to take a slower start while they decided on a permanent structure. The options, Alexander says, included turning it into a generic combatant command, organized like Strategic Command itself, or giving it specialized authorities, similar to those held by U.S. Special Operations Command.
We believe that the SOCOM-like model is where you need to go, which gives you the training and some of the acquisition authorities over the cyber lane specific. So it's a SOCOM-like.
Another option would be to place all the military cyber forces into a separate, newly created military service. Alexander says that's not currently the favored approach.
I think for the current period, for now, for the next several years, that we need to have an integrated cyber capability that goes into the services. I think that in places like Iraq, if we were to embed cyber capabilities at the brigade level, which we will need to do, you need to have service participation in that, not a separate service as an external person coming in, but an embedded organic capability to that brigade itself. So I think as we go forward, but they need to be trained to a standard. They need to know how that force works. So it's analogous to the way the cryptologic system works. We have cryptologists who go down to the brigade who are trained to a certain level. We have them in the air, and we have them at sea. All of them are trained together, and they act as one system, but they have them by service. So I think the next correct step would be go to a unified, pause, and then see if it makes sense to take the step beyond there. And I think that kind of a deliberate approach makes sure we don't go too far and then have to collapse back.
Alexander says the military services and Cyber Command are making steady progress toward building the cyber mission teams that announced it planned to stand up 2 years ago. DoD intends to have 133 teams up and running by 2016, some with responsibilities for defending DoD's own networks, some tasked with protecting the nation's critical infrastructure, and some attached to DoD's global combatant commanders with responsibilities for offensive operations.
One of the good parts about Cyber Command being at NSA, I think the training of our forces is going extremely well. We've trained almost 900 people. We have 900 more roughly in training right now. By the end of this year, that means we'll have 1,800 trained and ready personnel in teams. They cover from our cyber protection teams all the way up to the National Mission Force. And those personnel from across all the services are being trained to the same standards that we set at NSA. It's important that people who operate in these networks are trained to that same standard. It's extremely important. And it's the same for the Guard and the Reserve. So just to take that off for a minute, so the exercises that we do, Cyber Flag and Cyber Guard, are ways that we can hone our command and control and ensure that our teams, both in the active and reserve, are being trained to those standards. So one of the things we've set up with the Reserve and the National Guard is to train them to just that standard and then try to set your teams up to match what the active component is doing.
At the same time, there are challenges with regard to building and retaining the non-uniform cyber workforce at NSA and CyberCom, Alexander says, including not only pay disparities with the private sector, but also a discordant group of personnel systems within government. He says while 85% of his civilians fall under the Consolidated Cryptologic Program, another 12% fall under the Information System Security Program, and a handful of others are governed by still other hiring and personnel authorities managed by the Air Force and the Military Intelligence Program.
What this means is when personnel actions come, you deal with four different folks, and for promotions and for raises and for everything you're dealing on four different programs. You don't have an equal setting and an equal footing. So step one, we need to do that. That's something I have to push back to the department, and we are doing that. I just think as that comes forward, we'd need your support on it, because I do think either as a test or something, it gets us to where we want to be, to have one cyber team. This really came through on the furloughs. It was a big issue because half the force is in, or 85% is in, the rest are out. Nobody wants to then go over to one of those other billets feeling they will be at risk. That's not a way to set up a team. So I think we need to fix that.
Terry Takai, the Defense Department's chief information officer, says in DOD as a whole, the disparate personnel systems are less of a problem. What is a problem is the fact that federal civilian job classifications have not kept pace with the actual cyber work DOD needs its civilian employees to perform.
The next level of detail is really classifications and standardization of classifications for civilian employees, as well as the way that we're able to actually move them through the promotional opportunities, such that they stay in the area of expertise and, you know, can continue to progress. We're always going to have the problem with challenges of people moving outside into industry and some of the challenges with pay. But one of the things I think we need to do is to really work. DHS has put a framework together, and we're all working to it. But one of the things we need to do is to really get not only the job classifications solidified and through OPR, but then also to make sure that we've got the right career path and we're moving people along.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.